So I'm going to go ahead and continue our lesson through 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to do that in four short sections as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, Paul begins in chapter 3 by saying, therefore. And as you know, whenever he says, therefore, you've got to look back and see what he was talking about. And so if you go back there into verse 19 and 20 of 1 Thessalonians 2, you read this: for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Because this church was his glory and his joy, he couldn't bear being separated from them. There is glory, there is joy. He loves the church. He wants to be with the church. He's experiencing an extreme version of what we're all experiencing right now, being separated from one another. And so it says when he could bear it no longer. It's a word that literally means to keep something covered. When he literally couldn't hold it down anymore, he just had to find out how they were doing. And so he says that he was willing, really he and the rest of the team, they were willing, they resolved to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy. Now, I want you to notice something here. They sent Timothy, and Timothy has this really sort of bad reputation, I think, in the church in some ways. I think that some of us look at Timothy as maybe a weakling. We look at him as some kind of effeminate, almost, guy. Like, he's sort of frail and pale and fearful, and he's got stomach troubles, and he's kind of a wimpy guy. And here's the deal. Paul doesn't travel with wimpy guys. I mean, he's got this thing where he's got going across the known world, bringing the gospel to hostile people, whether unbelievers, pagans, idolaters, or these Jews. And almost everywhere he goes, it ends with him either being arrested or beaten. Furthermore, I mean, Timothy was a grown man when Paul led him to Christ. You remember his mother was a Jew and his father was a Gentile, and so he wasn't even circumcised. And Paul comes along and he leads him to Christ, and he says, I want you to come with me on the missionary journey. And because you're going to be dealing with Jews, and it's a really big deal for the Jewish people, I'm going to have you circumcised as an adult. So you talk about commitment. Here's a man who's willing to leave his home, leave his family, leave probably the religion of his father, because the fathers tended to control the religion of the household, the official religion of the household, willing to leave his mother and his grandmother, who we know from other passages were massively influential in raising him up and teaching him the scriptures, and follow Paul on this journey to go around the world spreading the gospel. And so he is a man who is so committed and so wise and so well-trained and so brave that Paul is willing to send him into some of the most dangerous and strategic areas of the mission field. And he does that when he sends him back to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was obviously a place that was full of hostility. And so he sends him back into a very hostile environment, and he goes to basically find out if there are any survivors. I mean, they didn't know how things went after the persecution came down. And so here he is, going into that arena, doesn't know how the believers have done. He is sent there for one reason, and that is Paul is concerned, as we'll see in a few moments here, that possibly everything they had done was in vain. Timothy is willing to go, and he's willing to do the mission and willing to come back with a report. So Timothy is a brave and valuable companion. Here he's called our brother and God's co-worker. That's a pretty amazing title, isn't it? A brother in Christ to Paul and to the other missionaries, but also God's co-worker. I mean, here's somebody who is right alongside the Lord in the work that is being done there in the gospel of Christ. And the reason that he is being sent, the reason that Timothy goes there, notice it, is to establish, verse 2, and exhort you in your faith. The word establish means to fix something firm, to make sure that it's steady and immovable, and to call alongside or to exhort, to be that person who is willing to really at times preach to you, at other times to teach you, sometimes to admonish or warn you or even rebuke you, other times to comfort you. It's that kind of ministry. It's all-encompassing. He goes there with every possible assignment, and this church needed him in every possible way. And so he is going to build them up and make sure that they're firmly fixed in their faith. It's a very important word. The word faith is going to appear later on there in verse 5. You're also going to see it in verse 6 and down in verse 7. This faith is not so much the original faith that brings you to Christ. He's not saying that they're doubting the gospel. He's saying, I'm going to send him over there to firmly fix you and to encourage you in your faith, growing in your faith, becoming more mature in your faith. What young believers need is discipleship and mentorship in the Word so that they have a stronger faith. Verse 3, furthermore, that no one would be moved. Now that word is only here in the New Testament. It's a word that means to be disturbed. It means to be unsettled or shaken. That no one is going to be dislodged, as it were, from the faith by what? By these afflictions, these tribulations. The church there in Thessalonica was experiencing significant persecution. They were experiencing so much of the trial that believers around the world were facing at the time and are still facing today. They were the ones that were the target of the attack of the evil one through the various means that he has at his disposal, the human agents, in a given city. They were targets. And so it is in the midst of that affliction, in the midst of those tribulations, that he is concerned that they would be moved or dislodged from their faithful commitment to Christ. The reason, he says at the end of verse 3, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. Now, I think he's saying that in a broad sense. The we there is not just the apostles or disciples or missionaries. It's not just the people that are in leadership that are going to suffer, though it was generally understood that that would be one of the consequences of being a missionary. But Paul's saying that even the people who receive Christ are going to suffer. He wasn't saying, well, come and believe this new teaching and your life will be fine and be comfortable and all your problems will be taken care of. On the contrary, he says, follow Jesus and remember what Jesus said, which is that if you are going to follow me, you should expect to be persecuted. Now, he warns them of this ahead of time. They were destined for it. They were ordained to it. But at the same time, he didn't know how it was going to go. Just because he knew that persecution would come doesn't mean he knew how it was going to end. And so, because they are his joy, because they are his glory, because he can't bear it any longer and wants to see them, they decide to stay in Athens. They send Timothy. Timothy is their brother, their co-worker in the gospel of Christ. He has a mission, and that is to establish them, to call them alongside, to encourage them, comfort them, exhort them, correct them, to build them up in their faith, and to do it so that they will not be shaken when all of these afflictions come. Now, the very same thing applies to us. We are going to experience persecutions and afflictions, and we need one another to build one another up in the faith, that we might be strong enough to show the kind of resolve that Christ expects of us in the face of those tribulations, and to be an encouragement to one another. Okay, so with that, let's just look at the two questions that would apply here. Question number one, who is Paul's emissary to the beleaguered Thessalonians, and what was his mission assignment? Again, we said this was Timothy, of course. His goal, to establish and exhort in the faith. Why? Because they were facing these trials and tribulations. And then number two, what did Paul say about Christians and trials? Answer, they are destined for us. They are to be expected. But as we'll see in the next lesson, God has not left us without tools to handle those trials in a way that honor him.